worship, please turn to hymn number 154, For God So Loved the World. Hymn number 441, Love Lifted Me.
Like you to know that in the inserts of the church bulletin, there is a letter from our good family, the Knotts family, in Spain. And they have visited Sevilla and perhaps they will start another church in Sevilla, and that's way south compared to the north where he is now. And I want you to read that letter and pray for them. And also in the back here, after the auditorium, there is a new exhibit from Martha Poretti with gratefulness for the car the church can purchase. And you will see the car there and the roads on the car already on the map going on. It's a good diesel car that Brother George told me, so I want to exchange my car for her car, but she don't, because it's very economical, as you know, diesel in South America is maybe 10 cents a liter, which makes about 40 cents a gallon, and it's very, very economical for them, especially at this moment in which Argentina frees all the money that you have in the bank, and the people have no longer any money in their hand, but they are doing okay. And so we thank the Lord for the news, and she wrote in English with handwriting all of this, so I was very proud that they tried to communicate the best they can to us, and very grateful. Let's pray together. Father, as a body of believers, we come to you, and as a body of believers, we are grateful that you provide a day and the whole week. We have 6 days in which we labor and do things for ourselves. But here is Sunday. In the book of Revelation in chapter 1, the Bible said, on the day of the Lord, John received his vision. And Lord, this day of the Lord will stay here until you come. And your church and your body of believers will be here waiting for you. And we are grateful, Father, for this. And we pray that as we gather together, our focus of attention is no longer on ourselves, but in God, in our Savior. We thank you, Lord, that this month in America is a month of love. And there is plenty of love in the Bible about God. And so we are ready to speak for 3 Sundays, oh Father, on the great love of God. And so help us to understand that love so that we can apply it to our heart and use it for the evangelization, for the enlightenment of the gospel, and then for the common life between ourselves. Oh, Father, how precious it is to understand and to know that you have a love that no man ever can figure out. It's so great and so deep. That will change our life all around when we understand it. So help us, oh God, to understand it. Father, we still have our brother Ron Nichols alive and wrestling with his sickness, and we pray for him and for his mother Dolores and for our brother Mark as they take care of him. Father, we pray also for those who in our mess are suffering and have difficulties and problems, and we pray that you strengthen their life in a very special way. We are aware that people are listening through the radio and through the tape ministry and through the internet. And so, Father, we pray that those who are listening to be a part of our congregation, and they may know that we care for them and that we want to pray to the very throne of grace according to their need. Father, we have missionaries across the world, and we just mentioned our brother Knott, who is considering moving to Sevilla, and we pray for wisdom about this move. Or we pray for Fred and Carol Lewis. Father, I just learned that he is coming for 6 months of in America, and he's going to be with us on April the 21st. And we pray, Lord, that you bless this couple as they teach the Word of God in the school in Ukraine. We pray for our good man Eusebio and Marisa Perez as they minister in Benalmadena in Spain, for the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, for Ruben and Irene Zacher, for the Association of Sport Association in San Jose, for Martha Poretti as she ministered to these people. And Father, encourage her heart. She have received about 40 new people to minister, and 4 of those people are interested in the gospel. And she was discouraged, and I was encouraged, because 4 is 10% of the people. And Father, in the drug business, if one turns around, that's a miracle. And so, Father, I pray that Martha be encouraged that there are four people that are asking for her pastors and for Bibles who want to know you. Oh, Father, speak to them. Change their life around, especially change their heart, which will change the whole being. We pray for our brother Lacey, Daniel Lacey, as he is preparing himself for the ministry and the races in the South and in the East and Daytona and so many places. And so, Father, we pray that he may share the Word of God with some of these great racers and that those people may focus their attention not so much in the glory of winning, but in the glory of knowing the Master of Masters, the King of Kings, the Savior of the Savior, Jesus, our Lord. We thank you, Father, for the people that have come today. Our house is full, and we are grateful that they are here to worship you. We are grateful for those listening in the internet from Baltimore, from Ohio, from Indiana, from Japan, from Italy, so many places that at this hour they are gluing to their computers so they are listening our service. And so, Father, we pray that our choir will praise your name with deep conviction, that our brother will read the scripture with joy, and the eye be blessed so the eye can understand the scripture and share them with simplicity and purity so that your people may leave this place with the joy of the Lord in their heart. Lord, you have provided for us week after week, and we are thankful for the offering that your people bring for carry on the ministry. We are grateful for the board of deacons of this church who do the administration, Father. They are careful in what we spend and how that money is spent. And I'm grateful. I'm super grateful for our chairman and our brother Kasanjan and how diligent he works and be sure that we do the right things financially. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided people so that the ministry can be carried on. And today, Lord, my heart's a little heavy. One man who have become my partner and my friend, our brother Ortiz, is moving tomorrow into Puerto Rico. And Lord, we pray that with the same enthusiasm and with the same diligence and with the same passion that he loves you here, we love you there. And that the people of Puerto Rico may know that we have sent an evangelist to them. And that we may hear from time to time of the great wonders of God in his life and in the life of other people. Lord, bless this man, protect it, and be with him, because we pray in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you.
truly redeeming souls to live again.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles and turn to the epistle of Paul. First epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians, verses 1 through 13. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 676. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffereth long, and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and we come before you now in his name. We will always praise you and thank you for your gracious love toward us, that although we were guilty sinners, you called us to be your own through the shedding of the precious blood of Christ. We pray, Father, for our brother Paul Ortiz as he travels tomorrow to Puerto Rico to live and to reside there. We pray that you would protect him and guide him and bless him in every way, and that you would place him in a church that is faithful to your word. We can say with the apostles, Father, in amazement, what manner of love you have bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. We love you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. By that same Spirit by which we loved you, guard us, that we will not sin, but we would always show love for others, we pray. We pray now for your servant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he comes to bring the good news from your word, that you would bless him in his teaching and give us understanding that we may apply that word to our lives. We pray for those who do not know you and your love, that they would become aware of and acknowledge their peril and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And I want also to convey to Paul Ortiz greetings from a man that we learned to love so much, and the Lord took it away also to another place, a brother Fred Vitola. He has sent just a letter and an email, greetings for his companion, Paul Ortiz. And so, Paul, we love you, and I want you to know that Fred remembers you clearly. Each month, we look forward to a series of sermons. The first Sunday, I always dedicate it to our Lord, as in our tradition. Is not in the Bible that the first Sunday of every month should have the Lord's Supper, but it's our tradition to do it. And the Brethren Church that I grew up is every Sunday the Lord's Supper. And so every first Sunday of the month, I'm compelled to teach about Jesus and his awesome sacrifice at the cross of Calvary. But then I have three or four Sundays to tackle a topic that will be very profitable for our life. And last January, Faith's Greatest Enemies was the topic. And I'm glad for those who in the internet are asking for tapes and copies as they share these with friends across America. Now, February in America is the month of love. And in a Spanish country will be September, but in America is February. And so I want to share three sermons on love this month so that we get God's perspective in that particular word, love. And so today's sermon will be God's love. Not your love or my love, but God's love. And I found that written in the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 13, verse 11, page 685. If you are using the same Bible I'm using here on the pew, which is your Bible right there in the pew, 685. Second Corinthians, chapter 13, and verse 11. Now, when you come to chapter 13 of 2 Corinthians, you come to the farewell expressions of Paul in the letter. As you know, 1 and 2 Corinthians were letters. They have the introduction, they have a body of things that Paul says, and then he closed the letter with a farewell, like you will do it. And his farewell, in verse 11, he says, finally, or as the original said, after all, brethren, rejoice. Now, the King James had the word farewell, but he bring the word grace. Rejoice, he said. And then he said, be perfect, be completed in Christ. Be of good comfort. Don't be discouraged. Be of one mind. He's talking about the body of believers, the church. Live in peace. And look what he says. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. So I want to talk to you about the God of love that the Apostle Paul is talking to the body of believers at Corinth. If you turn your Bible to the right to 1 John, and that will be page 719, 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and verse 8, John was very, very acquainted with Christ Jesus. He was, I don't want to use the word irrespectfully, but he was like a body with Christ Jesus. He knew what Jesus was doing, and Jesus knew what John needed, like two real good friends. And look at what he says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and in verse 8, in reference to love. That is page 719 in your Bible. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, why? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Very short sentence and very clear. That's a need in explanation. There is a great difference. There is a great difference between the love of God and our love. All the difference of the world between the human and divine love. And yes, there is a difference. And I accept it. There is a great difference. And let me then this morning highlight God's love, describe in God's word, and then at the end, let's summarize the entire sermon, crunch the entire thinking in one tiny verse that will give us an insight in how to use these theological information in a very practical way. So I will spend easy 28 minutes on giving you the theology of God's love, and in 3 minutes, what we're going to do with that and apply it to our life. There are at least four things that I want to highlight about the love of God. Number one, the love of God is unchangeable. John chapter 13 and verse 1. If you turn your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 13, page 632, and verse 1, John 13 and verse 1, you will discover, and again, this is in page 632, you will discover that God's love is unchangeable. Look at what the verse says. John 13, now, from this moment on, Jesus is start telling the disciples that he will depart. I need to move away. I remember when about 6-7 months ago, or a year ago, Brother Ortiz started having some thoughts and moving to Miami or to some place like that. And he started dropping these little by little, and I don't pay no attention, so I don't want him to leave. The moment came that tomorrow, God's willing, he takes the plane and leave, not to Miami, but to Puerto Rico. And something like this happened here. When you love each other and somebody says, well, you know, I have to leave, it's very hard. And look at how Jesus presented the case in verse 1 in John 13. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that means the crucifixion, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, that means his disciples, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. He loved them unto the end. He loved his disciples unto the end. He loved Peter, even though he knew Peter will deny him. He loved the disciples, even though he knew all the disciples will forsake him at the cross. And the application is this: God will never change his mind about you or about me. Once God loved me, he will never change his mind about you or about me, even though I may fail him. Now, that's divine. If you know Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, in chapter 3 and in verse 6, there is a remarkable text over there that Malachi expressed for us about the Lord speaking. And in Malachi 3, 6, the Bible said, for I am the Lord, or do you notice in the King James Bible, the word Lord is in capital letters. That means the word Jehovah. Because I am Jehovah, I change not. And so God's love is unchangeable. Once he zero in and loves you, doesn't matter what you do, he will love you. Wow. Wow. I have a mother like that. You do too. Maybe have a mother like that. I can do all kinds of crazy things. She can spank me fast with her hands, but she loved me. She loved me. I remember the day that she spanked me well, I found 25 cents under the pillow. That buys a ball, Anthony. And I was really happy. Tomorrow I go to the store and buy a ball. God's love is unchangeable. Quite different than our love, don't we? Our love is conditional sometimes, or is affected by circumstances and things. And the Bible said, no wonder at the farewell, Paul said, and the love of God and the peace of God may dwell in you. God's love is unchangeable. He will love you regardless. Number two, we need to go now to the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, in chapter 31, verse 3, page 463 from the back of your Bible. Jeremiah in chapter 31, in verse 3. And number two, God's love is everlasting. God's love is unchangeable, but God's love is everlasting. In Jeremiah, in chapter 31, and in verse 3, Jeremiah testified of something that no man in this universe can testify today. See, he was a prophet. And the prophets ends with John the Baptist. No longer there is a prophet in the earth. And Jeremiah, look at what he says in verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of all unto me. See, that was what a prophet is. A prophet receive direct revelation from God. No man in this earth can receive today direct revelation from God because the Bible has been completed. All the revelation we needed is right here in the pages of the Bible. But Jeremiah can write that. And look at what he says. The Lord hath appeared of all unto me, saying, I have loved thee with what? With an everlasting love. Now, wonder Jeremiah can stand the Jewish people who were against him, and Jeremiah had prophesied, we need to go to captivity. And you know, for telling the truth, he ended up in jail. It was a commander of the Assyrian forces that came in over there and said to Jeremiah, I'm impressed. A commander as crazy as Nebuchadnezzar, he came in and said to Jeremiah, what do you like to do? Come with us to the palace or stay in Jerusalem. And he said, I will stay in Jerusalem. And thank God, because then he writes the book of Lamentation. He stay in Jerusalem. He buy a piece of land in Jerusalem, prophesying that Jerusalem will be again up for God. And then he writes the book of Lamentation, how sorrowful he feels for what God has done to Israel in discipline. So Jeremiah experienced the everlasting love of God. There is a difference between a human love, which is temporary, momentary, but God's love is everlasting. Everlasting. Jeremiah can be in jail because he told the truth, but one thing he knew, that God's love was there with him. When you know that somebody loves you regardless what, makes all the difference of the world. And that's God's love. It's everlasting. Now, how do we relate this to us? I'm going to take a verse from our brother Yalday when he preached in Romans. Remember, he wanted to close Romans in one verse, and he said he has six. Well, I'm going to take the last verse from Brother Yalday in Romans 8 and in verse 39 and page 666 in the New Testament. In Romans 8 and verse 39 is almost an application of Jeremiah chapter 31 in verse 3. Look at what divine author said. Nor high, the very last verse of Romans 8, nor death, nor any other creature or creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you got it? There is nothing in heaven and earth and under the earth that can separate me from God. Nothing in life path from beginning to end can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. There is nothing, said the Apostle Paul. Almost what Jeremiah received from the Lord. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And so the application is very, very deep. God will never change his mind about me because of what others can say about me. God will never change his mind. He will see, I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to be ugly and holding grudge against anybody. You leave people to God because God will not change his mind for what other people can say unto you. See, in Jeremiah, people were saying, oh, he is an ugly prophet. He always talk about sin. He always talk about repentance. He always talk about this. Why? Jeremiah is not like the other prophets. They said everything is okay. Jeremiah never said everything is okay because it was not okay. He was a true prophet. And when somebody tells you, you are a sinner and need of repentance, you maybe go to another church and you hear, oh, you are okay. But really, the word of God said, we are not okay unless God loves us. And even you can put me away and say he's a fanatic. He had no compassion or he had no tolerance. You got it right. I have no tolerance when it comes to sin. Sin is sin. But I love you. And I will tell you again, repent. Because there is only one way to heaven. You see, Jeremiah suffered. So when you understand the concept, people were saying things about Jeremiah. And God said, Jeremiah, don't panic. I love you with an everlasting love. I always love you for saying the truth more. And so Paul picks up the idea and he said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in heaven, nothing on earth, nothing under the earth can separate me from the love of God which is expressed in the Lord Jesus. Remarkable. Number three. Number one, God's love is unchangeable. Thank God. Number two, God's love is everlasting. Thank God. Number three, God's love is for sinners. You got it? God's love is for sinners. You are in Romans 8. Let's go to Romans chapter 5 in verse 8. God's love is for sinners. Now, I want you to listen as I read the scripture in Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8, page 664. The Bible says, but God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, comma, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8 is telling us that because of his love, he made a way of escape for sinners. The way of escape for sinners is not our good works. The way of escape for sinners is not what I can do for God, but is what God has done for us. Wow.
I think Isaiah brings this about. If you go to Isaiah 63 at verse 9, page 441 in the Bible, in this Bible that we have here in the pulpit, Isaiah 63 and verse 9 said this: In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. And look at here. In his love and in his spirit, he redeemed them. You know why God redeemed Israel? Not because Israel was smart, not because Israel loved God, not because Israel was good. In his love, he redeemed Israel. He loved Israel regardless of Israel. Wow. Something as a cross-reference will be Luke 23. If you go to Luke 23 and you look in verse 34, which is in page 619, Luke 23 and verse 34, Jesus is at the cross. And the Romans were having a feast. Here is the king of the Jews. Remember, Pilate put on the top the king of the Jews. And the Romans were laughing. They were making a mockery of Jesus and a mockery of Israel. And here is my Savior on the cross. Then verse 34, Jesus said, Father, he could call legions of angels. What did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. God loved you as a sinner way before you love him. Way before. If you want a picture of this, a real picture of this, there is a man who's going to be saved. And Andrew, I think we have a boy by the name Andrew here. I hope that he become the evangelist of John 1. Andrew got saved in John 1, and he ran to Nathanael. Remember? Let's look at it. John chapter 1, and the whole crown comes in verse 47. Nathanael was a very godly man. He was not ugly. He was godly, but in the sense that he was religious. Not yet he have an encounter with Jesus. He was a religious man. But he need to have an encounter with Jesus. You can be a religious person, but you need an encounter with Jesus and the love of God from above in order to become saved, see? And look at verse 47. Look at the dialogue. Page 622 in your Bible. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed. Like if somebody see you coming in, he said, Behold, a Baptist indeed. Some religious person. Behold, he said, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. What a qualification. Here is a man of integrity. And then comes the dialogue. Nathanael said unto him, Whence thou knowest me? When you saw me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee. Wow. Before, verse 48, before Philip called you, when thou was under the fig tree, you like figs? I love figs. They're fresh. You have to watch out because open your little bit, your lips. Hurt you later, but oh, it's good. Especially if they are cold. So when you were under the fig tree, he was eating maybe figs, you know. When you were there, I saw you. Where was the fig tree? No, right there. Who knows where? And that's the way that God saw you and God saw me. God's love for a sinner. When you were rebellious, when you don't want anything to do with God, when you rejected God, when you care less about God, when you were in your own world, in a drama of your life, God saw you. Thank God. Thank God. Because if God never saw me first, I'm still in sin. That's all right? That's what it is. Whew, this is deep. See, when we talk about God's love, it's deep. It's no Hollywood style. It's deep. God loved you when you were a sinner. Now we get to know the Lord. The Lord bring us into salvation, and we take that for granted. But we can tell people there is hope for you. Because if God saw you, you're going to be his child. If God saw you, and God sees you in the worst of your life, and God saw Nathanael when Nathanael had no idea of being going to talk to the Master of Masters. And God said, I saw him, and he was an honest fellow, and he was a man of integrity, but he needs the touch of God, and Jesus was ready there for him. And Nathanael carefully said, sir, what are you talking about? He said, Nathanael, I'm God. I saw you before you even have an idea of me. That's what happened to all of the people who are believers in Christ. Regardless your denomination, you may be Pentecostal, you may call yourself a Roman Catholic, you may call yourself a Baptist, a Reformer, more Reformer, a more Reformer, whatever you call, doesn't matter. But Christ has to see you first if you want to be saved. Finally, God's love is undeserved. We saw that God's love is unchangeable. We saw that God's love is everlasting. And we saw that God's love is for sinners. Finally, God's love is undeserved. Let's go to the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation in chapter 1 and in verse 5. John is the writer. And in Revelation chapter 1, and in verse 5, John writes these words. Unto him that love us and wash us from our sins in his blood. We say in grammar, especially when you study the Greek language, the original of the Bible, that the order of words cannot be altered. Sometimes people who want to introduce a doctrine, they alter the order of the words, and it's not the same. And I want to tell you this. Look again in verse 5. Unto him, him is God, who love us, that's first, and wash us from our sins. It does not say he wash us from our sins and then love us. Is that right? Doesn't say that. The text says, unto him that love us, that's first, and then wash us from our sins. He love us first, then wash us clean. Did the father and the prodigal son's story wait for the son to make up his first move in order to love him? Check it. Luke Gospel, chapter 15, verse 20, page 612 in the Bible. Luke Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 20. Did the father in the story of the prodigal son wait for the son to make a move so that he can love him? Look at the story. In verse 20, it's talking about the son, the prodigal son. The Bible said, and he arose and came, said the Bible, to his father. But, thank God for the word but. But when he was yet a great way off, before he can see the father, his father saw him and had compassion, love, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. That's the really story of God. Before you even say, God, where are you? God is there and is loving you. So don't blame God if you are not saved. Don't blame God. God's love is unchangeable. You can be sure that he never will change his mind about you because in the way you behave. God's love is everlasting. God will never change his mind about you because of what people can say about you. God's love is for sinners. That's the way we come into the kingdom. I don't have to be good in order for God to love me. Actually, he loves me because I have no other way to become saved. Compassion. And God's love is undeserved. I have not performed anything in order to receive something. I have received God now. I'm a child of God. So how do we tie all of these up together? How do we, what is this theological dissertation about God's love have to do with me? Pastor, you talk about divine love, and we're talking about human love. The love of a mother for a son, a daughter, the love of a husband for his wife, the love of a wife for the husband. Now, how all of these have to relate to me? This is a great theological knowledge, but how this theological knowledge comes right here on the floor and I can walk on it? One verse of the Bible will say it all. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Here is the sermon in a nutshell. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. Paul is talking to the great church of Rome. About 16 little churches were in Rome. If you read Romans 16 tells us that there were little groups of churches. Not like today, the big cathedral, St. Peter Cathedral and so on. There were little groups and homes. And look at what he says. He said, and now hope does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out where? In our hearts. Woo! Now, that makes all of us responsible. No one of us can say, well, you know, I so-and-so is such a rascal. I cannot love him because... I tolerate him. I say I love, but I will not love him. Well, do you have the love of God in your heart? If you have the love of God in your heart, which God said he shared with you when you were saved, you don't have to ask God, give me love. No, he saved you and he gave you a package. Let me show it to you. Galatians chapter 5. When God saved, he gave you a package. In Galatians chapter 5, and in verse 22, page 687, the Bible says, verse 22, page 687, Galatians 5, but now the fruit of the Spirit is, what is the first fruit that God in his package shared with us? Love. No human love, God's love. That's what the only person in this world that can really love somebody else is God's children. We have the capacity to love. We have the capacity to share that love of God with others. Don't let any psychologist fool you. Doesn't matter what your father and mother wear. Doesn't matter what your grandparents wear. If you are saved, you're a new creature. And within that new creature is the love of God in your heart. And you can love your wife with passion, even though she makes you vacuum. That's all right. You can love your husband with passion, even though he's stubborn. Talking about me. Friend, what a great joy I have. I am being loved by God, and now I have a responsibility. The responsibility to love all of you with passion. With passion. You know, when you love everlasting, when you love unchangeable, when you love, as I mentioned with those four points, you love with passion. And that's the way we should love. May God help us that during this month of February, as the world celebrates man's love, we go above man's love and we can say, yes, we celebrate God's love every day because I have received the love of God when I don't expect it. I have been flooded with the love of God when I never dreamed about it. And now I know him and I'm saved and I'm going to share my life with everybody so that everybody may know that God loved me. You know what the Bible said in John 13? By these they will know that you are my disciples. If you know Greek and Hebrew, no? It's good for a pastor to know Greek and Hebrew. But that's not how you know your disciples. In John 13, verse 37 said, by these they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. May your home be a home of love. There was a lot of spanking in my house. I don't know in yours, but in my house, my mama was loose. My father, no. When he spanked you, you got pain. But my mother was, you know, you disobey right away. And always I was argumentative. My mother would say, well, we will do this. I say, why? That's it. I don't know to ask why. So when my wife said, we go to that place. Okay, we go. I'm afraid of it. But my mother put me to bed every night and knelt down and prayed. And I was almost an engineer at 22. And my mother will kneel down at my drafting table at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and bring me tea and pray for me as I was doing the work. I knew that mama loved. Imagine, just a mother. Imagine God. Brother and sister, don't be discouraged. The only thing we have to do is change the way we live. Rather than feeling sorry for ourselves, let's feel good and share God's love so that we can see if God can put that love in somebody else. Will change your life all around. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that in this business of love, in this business of your love, we just touch a little bit about who you are in love, and we are emotionally moved. So Father, bless us with the understanding that now we have within ourselves the love of God. Help us to love others with a passion that Jesus loved, with a passion that you love us. And may that love be seen by others. And as a result of that, they may come to know you, the Savior of our soul. In Jesus we pray, amen.
I'm in love with my Savior, and He's in love with me. He is with me from day to day. What a friend is He! Watches over me while I sleep, hears me when I pray. I am happy as I can be, and I now can say, somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine.
Then at last when our work is done, He will call us home to a mansion He has prepared, nevermore to roam.
We'll sit down by the riverside, cares all passed away, and with never a pain to bear, what a happy day.
Somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine. Somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine. Somebody loves me, answers my prayers. I love somebody, I know He cares. Somebody tells me not to repine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine. That somebody is Jesus, and I know He's mine. He's mine. Yes, He's mine.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. Usually I ask you to stand and I pray the benediction. Today is going to be a little different. We're going to ask Brother Paul Ortiz to come here forward, as we did with Brother Fred Vitola. It's very hard for us sometimes to see somebody go, but this is the way people should, if they're going to leave a church, this is the way they should be done. And you have read the bulletin, the poem that we wrote about you. Somebody wrote about you. Is that right? Yeah, yeah. Well, how come you don't have a shirt? you know,
when he and I will visit somebody, it looks like the diplomats are coming to the house or something, you know. And I guess Ron Nichols was impressed when we went over there all dressed up and you know, all this. And brother, the church love you, and we all love you. We're going to give you these Bibles in Spanish, and I wrote some dedication for you so you remember us, and you use it. It's a small print, so you better get better glasses. But I tell you, this is for you, my brother. So each time you open, you know that Bethel Baptist Church is praying for you. And as you share the gospel with others, I want you to write emails to us and tell us what God is doing with your life. And we're going to pray for him. And after, rather than going that way, we all go to the kitchen and we're going to share a little chocolate cake together. Remember that, all right? This church is specialized in chocolate cake. Do you want to say a few words or you're too emotionally moved?
The only thing I want to say is that I hope I serve the Lord the way that he wanted me to. And I argue a lot for the Lord because I want his strength and I want to spread his strength around that we let him down. That's all I said.
All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we love each other as Christ told us to love. Departures are always hard. And the disciples did not understand why Jesus had to go. And sometimes we do not understand why somebody has to go and stay. But one thing we know, we're going to love each other regardless. In Puerto Rico, even though it's 4,000 miles away, it's not big enough to stop us to love our brother Paul. And so, Father, across the miles, let Paul know that we have someone here, some people here, who love him and will support him. Let him know that the peace of God may be his strength. And may him know that the joy of the Lord, the Bible said, is the strength of our life.
Amen.
So, Father, bless him, protect him, and help us to hear the good news that he's serving you in that land too. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for knowing, oh God, that you love us so much that we just touch a little bit of what great love you have placed in our life. Help us to share that with one another. In Jesus, we pray and thank you. Amen. Say hello to Brother Paul, and the ladies will tell us when that is ready.